May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. My grandparents were farmers, and each summer, my sister and I would stay with them for a while. I'd watch my grandfather atop the combine harvester, shirtless and bronzed, plowing through the wheat, running back and forth with dust and straw flying out the back into perfectly knitted rows, like little heaps, like someone icing a very large cake. The trailer and tractor would race back and forth, and heaven forbid they not be back in time and the combine harvester have to stop. One summer, my mother told me that at age 14, my grandfather gave her a box of matches and told her to go burn the field after it had been cut. Now, farmers do this to reset the land. They eliminate any remaining straw, it kills any weeds that have sprung up, and it just makes it ready for plowing before the next year's planting. Now, striking a match is not a difficult task in itself, but once the fire is lit, every farmer knows that there is no controlling that. I remember being absolutely awestruck at being given so much responsibility and a full box of matches at such a young age. And I prayed vehemently that I would be chosen. However, by age 9, I had solidified my reputation as an accidental pyromaniac, and candles were off limits, let alone burning a field right behind the house. So we're talking fire. Bring on our guest for today, John the Baptist, again. He's been cropping up since the beginning of Advent. We know him to be a slightly strange kind of bloke, very direct, abrupt, dresses weird, eats bugs, doesn't mince his words. He's preparing the way for Jesus, constantly calling people out for their bad behavior, calling people back to relationship with God. Now, John is such a prophetic force that no one can deny that God is at work in him. And seeing how highly the people regard him, John offers a stark comparison between the coming Messiah and himself. I baptize you with water, he says, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We know ourselves how powerful and all-consuming fire can be. We get yearly proof, don't we, as our forests burn. But the listeners of the day would have thought immediately of God leading the Israelites in the wilderness by a pillar of fire, or perhaps even Moses being called by the burning bush. And then comes the really difficult to hear John stuff. The words unquenchable fire erupt off those pages. And you feel the wagging finger of fire and brimstone preachers doing their doomsday thing across the land from very high pulpits. It's not exactly a brilliant sales pitch for baptism, not unless you're trying to scare people into it, which is not what the church is about. We don't follow Jesus out of fear. We follow Jesus, why? Because Jesus is the light of the world that we celebrated anew this past Christmas, despite the darkness that we find ourselves in at the moment. Jesus is the way of truth and light, and the one who leads us into that all-important relationship with God. But what about the chaff? What about this unquenchable fire? I hear you say, nobody wants to be the chaff. And man, do we love to get fixated on the fire part of this story, like a kid longing for a box of matches. But what about the Spirit? What about the part where John says, the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire? Perhaps together, these words are meant to make us think God works wonder in fire and the Holy Spirit comes from God. Bingo, it's a Messiah flag. That's what's supposed to pop up. Because the Spirit has always been present. Think of a psalm today. The Spirit hovered over the waters in the beginning, before creation. Our passage from Isaiah today speaks of God's inescapable presence. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. I will be with you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be consumed. For I am the Lord your God. Definitely paraphrase that. That was certainly true for the Israelites exiting Egypt in a hurry, was it not? God is always there, no matter what. Now, humanity has always had a tendency to wander off, which is why Jesus came to lead us into baptism with John that day, into baptism and beyond. Jesus, we hear, was baptized that day with ordinary people. Jesus and the people were baptized, people like you and me, regular folks. We heard that the Spirit came down upon him in bodily form. People could see it. It was real. We heard that God's words thundered from heaven. They could be heard. It was tangible. The presence was there. People could see and hear and no doubt feel it. The day my grandfather handed my mom a box of matches and said, "Go burn that field," he knew that he had the perfect Goldilocks conditions for the task. Not too much wind, not too much moisture. Everything was just right. With no wind, he knew the fire would spread slowly and burn itself out, cleaning the soil and preparing it for the following season without getting out of control and scaring the God knows what out of a 14-year-old. A healthy respect for fire and for the Holy Spirit is sensible. However, we should not be fearful to listen to the Spirit when it is poking us, pulling us, dragging us, screaming in any given direction. When the Spirit is at work, God knows that the perfect Goldilocks conditions exist, even if we don't know it. And that's why you can trust it, like my mum trusted my grandfather. Now, my gramps had a little help. He separated the chaff with his combine harvester, which, I don't know, maybe cheating. John tells the crowd, that the coming Messiah will separate it using a fork, tossing it into the air and allowing the wind to just blow it away. Then it would be swept up and burned. In both cases, the goal is not to burn the chaff, but to save the wheat. It is not to burn the chaff, it is to save the wheat. Jesus, our Messiah, longs for that wind of the Spirit that we don't know where it comes from or where it goes, to blow the chaff, the stuff that stops us being healthy grain, off us, away from our lives, so we can just be wheat, so that we can be saved. God's promise is not a release from the suffering and pain of this world, but a promise that says you will be accompanied through the waters, through the rivers, and through the fires of this life, even through COVID-19. John calls out the gospel pages, "Repent, turn back to God." Jesus then promises to be with us because God formed us, knows us, redeems us, calls us, claims us, and there is nothing that any of us can do about it. That is why when we get baptized, not we don't get baptized because there's a magic that happens, but because we're standing up and saying we accept the claim that God has on our lives. It's not a one and done deal. It doesn't happen when conditions are just right. We have not punched our ticket to heaven and the good life. Baptism is just a step on a journey. Many of us don't even remember our baptism. But whether by water or by spirit, it's not guided by our differing opinions or the truths that we cling to feel better about where our life is at. The only guide is Jesus. That's what taking your baptism vows is about. This means, unfortunately, that we have to accept that there may also be other people baptized that we don't really like or get along with or agree with, and they will be on the journey alongside us. That's why when you're in seminary, they spend so much time teaching you about managing people and church politics. We need only to focus on the truth of God among us in the person of Jesus and through the work of the Spirit. As we go out into the world, this means that the Spirit is at work not just in preachers and teachers and Bible nerds, but also in sandwich artists, table servers, floor moppers, toilet cleaners, diaper changers, garbage emptiers, vegans, hunters, even the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And the challenge for us as a church is the same as it's always been. It's to be a place that welcomes all people, regardless of their opinions, lifestyles, whatever, in the same way that Jesus did. Whether we're here in this building, or out elsewhere, or at Zoom, sitting at home, that is the job of a baptized community. That's your job, my job, our job. Now, lots of things in this world right now feel like they are not just right. But the Spirit is at work and present in each of us right now. If you want to be baptized or you want to be confirmed and take those vows for yourself, if you want that next step, simply talk to one of the clergy. Don't wait for the Goldilocks day of perfect conditions, because it ain't coming. Just take a leap of faith, because that, friends, is the Jesus way, and that is our way. Amen.